Hey everybody, thanks for listening to We Suck at D&D. I am going to give those of you who didn't want to listen to the last episode due to its graphic nature a little last time on right after this. But first, I just wanted to warn you, this podcast is not safe for work. And on top of that, this episode in particular, along with the last one and a couple more, are extremely graphic. It is a horror-based episode, and there are a lot of really graphic depictions of blood, gore, violence, you name it. So lots of inappropriate stuff, lots of gore. So with that said, last time on Heroes Guild, Ruby Leaf and Shmurp, while hanging out at Kelly Clarkson's mansion, were trying to wait out the storm and wait for Herb when Ruby saw somebody in the house. And upon an investigation, some scary stuff happened. They ended up in a hallway with six doors, each of which opened one at a time. They had to find keys to open up the last door at the end of the hallway. The first room that they went into, Ruby encountered his late sister, who claimed that she was in hell thanks to Ruby and thanks to his actions. After leaving the room, they found themselves in a graveyard where they found the first key, but upon taking this, hundreds of undead came out of the ground and they had to fight their way out. And once they left, they found themselves back in the hallway, one door short, no Kelly Clarkson, and one key in hand. And that is where we left off last time on Heroes Guild.
And I make my way toward the door, open door.
Okay, do you guys follow Leaf?
Here we go.
I wipe the tear.
You just made me think of Mario.
Mario?
Oh, dang it. All right. Let me retake. Let me retake. I don't want to spell like Mario.
Let's go.
All right.
Here okay. We go again.
Time to walk through this door now.
And I jump through the door and I go, whoa.
Okay. So all of you enter this doorway.
I didn't say I was going.
Oh, I thought you said you jumped through and made a Mario noise.
No, I was making fun of Shmurp.
Okay.
He's molesting the spot where the other door used
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, I'm just rubbing my body on it, and I'm singing the song, "I want to kiss you all over and over and again till the night closes in." And then I wipe the tears from my soapy, tear-soaked face, and I jump through the door, and then I say, "Let's go!"
Okay, so you all... So you all enter the door. Okay, you all enter the door, and it is dark. It's very dark and moist, like a cave. Shmurp, you have a flashback to waking up in an area that it was very similar to this. You start to feel an urge to find raw meat that you can feast on. Make a constitution saving throw.
Okay, okay.
20? Jesus 20, Christ.
Come on, boy.
Okay.
Not bothered at all,
no,
actually.
You're not even... Okay. So you manage to fight down the instinctual urge to eat raw meat. There is an unlit torch on the ground near where you guys entered. What do you want to do?
I take that torch and I like zip it up the back of like Ruby's butt crack, like how you would like strike a match.
Okay. So it lights up.
I clench for extra friction.
And what you guys see is you see spiderwebs everywhere, floor to ceiling. And even worse, what you see in the spiderwebs appears to be humanoid shapes wrapped up and suspended in webs.
Guys, I really don't like this.
I don't know if we're supposed to save these people or... Okay, can I look...
At first instinct, you want to burn the webs, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, no, initially you were like, burn the webs, but I don't also want to kill a character that's going to help us get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Can I do perception check just to kind of look around the cave? Is there anything else that I can see in the cave?
Sure, go ahead and make a perception roll.
Specifically looking for like an exit.
Okay.
Nine.
With a 9, all you can see is that from what the torch is lighting up, you see a circular room in a cave covered in webs. And there are basically everything I described. But you can see that there is a potentially a hallway at the other end, but you can't be sure from where you are right now. And you don't know if it's an exit or if it's where something is.
Okay.
I'm walking deeper into the cave with my torch.
Okay.
And I'm readying an attack because there's webs everywhere, and so there must be a spider.
Okay. Are you, anyone else doing anything?
What if it's just a big silkworm?
I'd maybe be okay with that.
Yeah, it's fine. They're not malicious. Unless it turns into like a giant moth that wants us dead.
Mothra.
And honestly, I think we would just all be naked by the end of it because he would just eat our clothes. Or he would entice us to get naked.
Not a new really thing for this team.
Not at all. Not I'm the just first going time we've to, been naked on film.
I'm just gonna ready an action.
Okay, what are you gonna ready?
A blow with the mace.
Okay. So
I'm gonna ready the spell Burning Hands.
Okay. So as Leaf starts to move forward, Shmurp, before anything else happens, you feel something land on your head. Make a dex saving throw. And since you readied an action, I'll make it easier than it was.
Okay. Dex saving throw coming at you. 24.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Come on, boy.
Hot dice.
Okay. You something hits your head and you swing your mace at your head and somehow you don't hit yourself, but you knock the mass off your head and you look behind you and there was a spider about the size of a grapefruit that you knocked off your head.
You were going to say the size of a grape. I'm like, that's not too bad.
That is disgusting, guys. That is, I hate it.
But as Leaf moves further in, that hallway that you thought existed was actually a hole, and you see a giant spider that start to crawl out that seems to be made of what, or seems to be made of what you think is human flesh. And it's crawling out of the wall and it's making its way towards you. Go ahead and roll initiative.
As if a spider wasn't bad enough.
Fourteen.
Oh, so you both had 14. Would you have Ruby? Okay. Okay. Let me roll for the spider.
Does the spider have a name?
No.
It's Zachary.
You guys can name it if you want.
But its friends just call it Zach.
God.
They actually call it Zatch.
Oh, it's with a CH? Mm-hmm. That's nice. Do you think its parents named it, or do you think it Jesus. Just likes it?
Okay.
I think it chose its own name.
First is Ruby,
perfect. Okay, well, I'm going to cast Burning Hands.
Okay. What does that do?
That was a readied action. It's pretty self-explanatory. My hands are now on fire.
Okay. So that was a readied action.
Yeah. Have you seen the interview?
Yes.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's the one with James Franco.
That's Rogan.
Yes,
James.
I have seen it, yeah.
And they have like the poison strip on his hand.
Yes, so it's going to look like that initially. But then, because Burning Hands does...
I should mention that since the room is covered in webs, that it's going to be difficult terrain for you guys if you want to move around.
Okay, that's fine.
Unless you burn up the webs.
Right. What I plan on doing... Oh, wait a minute. Let me see something here, boy. I hold my hands with thumbs touching and fingers spread.
Okay.
A thin sheet of flame shoots forth from my outstretched fingertips. Each creature within a 15-foot cone must make a dexterity saving throw. But every creature takes 3d6 fire damage on a failed save.
Wow. Okay.
Or half as much damage on a successful.
Okay. Let me make... what is it? Dexterity saving throw, you said?
Yes, and you have to beat a 14.
14. Okay. Wouldn't you know it, I rolled a 14.
Well, tie goes to the runner. I've gotcha.
Okay, so how much does this spider take?
We're going to find out right now. Cool. 12 damage.
12 damage, okay.
And I'm assuming, does that hit webs in the path?
Yes, so you basically throw forth this fiery spell, and it ignites the spider webs and damages the spider for 12 damage.
I'm starting to fucking play D&D, boys.
And as the webs burn up, those human shapes start to burn up as well.
Bye, human shapes.
And you see the key fall from one of those human shapes to the ground.
All right, we were right to be skeptical, but it worked out in this case, Shmurp.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
I think you were about to do a hula stink.
I think I almost did.
I saw you kind of do the... you know how hula stink was. We all remember hula.
Leaf and Shmurp, pick a number between 1 and 10.
Oh, this is hard, because my initial reaction is 7, but I feel like I should say 2, which is the second most chosen number.
So 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shmurp?
Wait, say that. What was it? What are the numbers again?
Pick a number between 1 and 10.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 6.
6 was the number. Oh. So,
nice.
You go ahead and go first. You guys rolled the same initiative, so.
Okay, what am I gonna do?
Those were low stakes, and you really were like, oh, fuck. Alright, here we go.
I wish there was something else that I could do. How far away is that, that spider?
It's right in front of the three of you, so I'd say it's probably about within 5 feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oogie doogie.
It's on fire right now.
Okay, I'm gonna use... Oh, it's on fire. Okay,
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna run to one side of it. So I'll choose the. Is there a side that's closest to a wall?
It's in a cave, isn't it?
Its butt is closest to the wall because it just came out of a hole in the cave wall.
Okay.
Facing forward.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just choose the left side.
Okay.
And I'm gonna attack its arm, like its legs. You know.
Okay, go ahead and make a attack roll.
Okay, I'm gonna do the double, the two-handed one too. So this one with the mace was 10.
You rolled a 10?
Yeah.
That's not gonna do it.
Okay, so a swing and a miss. And then he has a dagger.
So okay, try that swing.
16.
16 will do it.
Okay. And it's a piercing, so he's gonna, like, I don't know, stab through. Because you know how it, like, kind of bends, you know, at the arm?
Yeah, so you're gonna try to stab through the joint?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to stab through the joint, and it's a 4.
Okay, so you missed the first time, but then you swing back and with a stabbing motion with your dagger, and you hit it right in the joint. So that leg sort of dislocates. It's like kind of hanging on by some strands of its, like, skin. How much damage did you say it was? 4?
4, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you step to that leg, and that leg is pretty much useless at this point. And then it will move on to a leaf, unless you can do anything else from it, which you've done 2 actions at this point, and movement.
Okay, yeah, so then no, I can't do anything else.
Okay.
Why did you even ask that question, Christopher?
I don't know what he can do.
Oh. You're like, unless you can do anything else, which you can't. You already did this.
Well, I could take the time to open up each one of your sheets, but I'll just trust you.
Okay. I have 8 actions. I want to use my wand of magic missile, because that's the closest thing I have to fire right now.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to hit. So you have 5 charges, basically.
14?
14 hits. That ties the armor class.
Okay, cool.
So go ahead and roll damage.
What is that?
Do
I have it here? Oh no, but it doesn't let me.
That, it's probably input manually. So you might have to roll a dice and add whatever it is. How many charges are you expending?
How many should I use, team?
I don't know. I think this thing's pretty hurt. And we can always come back around, you know what I mean?
Do you want me to just use like 2 of my 5 then?
Yeah, I'd say just use 2.
2, all right, yeah.
2.
So, an 8 total?
8 total, okay.
So or do I put +1 for both of them?
What, did you roll 9? 8 flat?
No, I rolled a 4 and a 3.
So 7, 8, 9. So 9.
9 total. Okay.
Okay, so you blast this thing with your magic missile, and it kind of, it takes, it, if it had like knees, it would fall to its knees because it's hurt so bad, but not quite then. And it's the spider's turn. Who's closest to the spider? I know that Shmurp is within stabbing distance. Okay, Shmurp, it is going to try to bite you.
No.
I refuse.
How is a oh my god. Oh no, that's not right. I thought it said 27, but what it actually says is 13. Does that beat your AC?
Frick, by 1 freaking point.
1
there.
Point.
1 okay. Heckin' point right there, man.
Okay, so it is going to do 1d8 plus 3.
No. Don't do it.
That is going to be 7 damage. So it bites you for 7 damage.
Oof.
And something else happens. So you feel the stinging pain of the spider biting you.
Ugh, I knew it.
But furthermore, you start to feel all of the information that you've gathered up to this point slip away. You start to feel your memories fading.
No. No. Oh gosh. This is literally Shmurp's greatest fear. Okay.
I feel like you were probably the last person that should have gotten close to that spider.
I didn't know that was gonna happen.
Okay, so back to Ruby.
Oh my god, dude.
Ruby.
Oh, it's back to Ruby.
Yeah, back to Ruby.
I am Ruby.
This is literally...
I purpose am of going to... Are these animals?
It's a spider. Yeah.
Insects, animals.
Insect, yeah, I guess. Arachnid.
It depends on how specific you want to be. I have speak with animals.
Okay.
And I'm going to take that spell and I'm going to shove it up my arse and I'm going to pull my bow out.
Okay. Go ahead and roll the hit.
What?
Alright, I rolled a 16 plus 8. That's a 20.
Yeah, you hit. You hit, yeah. And you don't even need to roll damage because as long as it's 1, you kill it.
Well, let's see if I roll a 1.
Okay.
1d8 plus 3.
Impossible to roll a 1.
Oh my god.
Are you serious?
Plus 3 is a 4.
Oh god.
Okay. So you send an arrow. Nothing spectacular happens. You literally send an arrow. It just goes into its brain and
yeah,
falls
I go.
Over.
I just go.
All right. Dude.
It's the most anticlimactic ending. Just.
So this spider basically collapses to the ground. It's dead. The key is on the ground in the room with you guys. And that was probably the fastest fight you've ever done.
Does it end lives?
Does him dying do anything to my brain?
No, you are still, at the moment, slowly losing grasp of the memories that you've got.
What would happen
starting
if
with what? Like,
what
the
if
most
I showed
recent?
Some good berries in his mouth?
No, it's not. It's not a HP thing.
What is it?
It's a toxin? Well, you don't know yet.
It's
start
it's
all right. So
it's fine. We'll remake those memories, Shmurp.
So Shmurp, I don't know everything that Shmurp has experienced up till now, but just random patches of memory are starting to go.
Oh, this is so sad for Shmurp.
Oh man.
And it's an incredibly hard thing to keep track of for a DM, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. All right.
I'm so curious.
Me too. It's a very vague.
So guys, I don't remember how we got here. How do we get here?
The good news is I don't know how we got here either. So don't worry about that memory.
Okay.
The key
none
is
of us do.
Leaving.
My head's just feeling real foggy. Like everything is just kind of it's kind of cloudy, and my brain feels like toothpaste.
I'm gonna roll.
This is weird.
Perception on the spider.
Okay.
I know this is a weird thing, but
roll Arcana on the spider.
While you do that, Shmurp's gonna go get the key.
Okay.
Perception. Okay, so 17 total. I should have just clicked on it, but
17 total. So yeah, the spider is definitely made of human flesh, and it seems like it's not. With a 17, you can tell that. I mean, obviously, you know, with a 17, there are no spiders on this planet that are naturally made of human flesh. So it's from somewhere else.
Okay. Is there any way that I can craft an anti-venom from its venom? That's what I specifically am looking for on this spider.
Oh, okay. That would be... Do you have a medicine? Is there a medicine roll?
Yeah. There is a medicine roll.
Yeah, make a medicine check.
Okay.
But I think you're actually really good at. Oh my god, yeah. You are really good at.
Yeah.
So you take some venom in a vial and you mix some random herbs that you have together. And
good berries, they're good for that.
Yeah, you take some good berries, you squeeze it in there, you take some random like herbs that you have in your pocket and you crumble it up in there. And you think that should do. And you hand it over to Shmurp.
I don't hand it directly to Shmurp.
Okay.
At this point, Shmurp is kind of like wandering around the cave. He's like, I came over here for something.
I grab Shmurp by the shoulder and say, listen, Shmurp, I made this specifically to help reverse the effects of the venom.
Okay.
But I made it in a specific way. You'll notice the shape of this vial. It has a beveled tip to it.
It does.
That's because this specific vial isn't meant for oral consumption.
So he made an enema.
But
so it goes in
suppository purposes.
This supposed to go in my booty hole.
This goes in little tight Shmurp rectum.
Are you?
Now we have two options. Now you can apply it. Or I can apply it.
I'll just give it to me.
Right.
He takes it and runs away.
He says, just give it to me.
So Shmurp takes it and he runs into the hole that the spider came out of.
And then something else runs into a hole.
And then you hear a... You hear a...
Oh, you hear two of them?
Yeah, that was in and out.
That was in and out real quick. Then he runs back out. And Shmurp, like...
He runs, does he?
Shmurp, in your mind, there's sort of almost like a war going on. Like, you can feel memories fade out, but then come back, and then fade out, and then come back. And it's like two different chemicals in your brain are going at once. So you suspect that what you've just taken is working, but it's going to take some time.
Okay. This sucks so bad. It sucks so bad.
It's not your fault, Shmurp. You did everything right. It's not your fault.
Okay. So while this is happening, he's kind of reverting back to his actual Shmurp, because he's like forgetting pieces of his assimilations.
Okay.
So he's kind of going back to the original form, but he just kind of keeps going like in and out.
So what is the original form that you keep going towards look like to your companions?
So Shmurp originally, when he first became conscious of himself, no, he wasn't a spider. he was actually a goblin. And so he looked like a goblin, kind of like small and scrawny, but because he had became conscious, his appearance kind of changed. So he's kind of green, has like matted hair, and like kind of jagged teeth, ugly hands. He just looks like a goblin. So he's kind of going between like that goblin and then like this cheery person that's like a hero, you know, that like between those two. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Ruby, what did you give him?
That was an anti-venom enema. It's an old Irish Dalian recipe.
An anti-venema?
An anti-venema.
Okay. So
I give Leaf the biggest hug for that joke. And I say, all is forgive. No, hold on, wait, no, I can't just forgive everything because of one good pun.
We break apart awkwardly.
Yeah, so, we just kind of, yeah.
Shmurp, while Ruby was making that anti-venema, you had picked up the key, and now you have the key as you guys walk out into the hallway and close the door behind you. Was that the sound of you putting the key into the lock, or was that the sound of the door closing?
The sound of the door closing.
Oh, okay.
So now I should go put that key into the six lock door. Okay.
Yeah. So you put the key into one of the six, well, five remaining keyholes, and you turn it and you hear a click, and just like before, the door across, like kind of catty corner from the one you just entered, creaks open, and when you turn around to look at it, you all notice that the first two doors are gone. It's only the four remaining doors, and the one that where you originally standing would be the second door on the right is open.
All right.
Yeah, and all right, let's just go. Come on.
Ooh. Someone's a little testy.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be testy. I'm just going through something here.
It's okay, Shmurp.
All right, well then whatever, let's go.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, the three of you enter the third room, and you see a wooden floor that goes out about 5 feet, and then it drops off into water. And you look where the dark water is going, and you see a hole in the back of the room that is just under the water. And as you guys start to discuss this room and what to do, you hear chains sliding on the ground. And before you even can do anything, Leaf and Shmurp are wrapped up by the chains and pulled straight back to a pole in the middle of the room,
and they are tied up by these chains, unable to move. And you hear a clicking noise, Ruby, and as you look up, you see that the chains are locked up by a heavy-duty lock. And above them is a panel of spikes that slide out of the ceiling and start to slowly drop from the ceiling towards your companions. And Ruby, you see something large swim out of the hole in the wall. And as it comes close to the flooring where you're standing, it turns and swims back towards the hole. And as it does, you see that there are two keys being dragged behind it, connected by like some fishing line or something.
Okay. So
in the water.
A couple things. First, I want to roll a perception check. Or do I need to? You can tell me. How far away am I from my team?
So the pole is about, I would say was about 5 feet from the water.
Okay. So 15 feet for me?
No, you guys all kind of walked up to the edge of the flooring before those chains pulled Leaf and Schmirt back to the pole. So you're probably in between. You're about 2.5 feet from them, 2.5 feet from the water at this point.
Oh, okay. So I'm right next to them.
Yeah, you're right next to everything.
Second question. Poles that they're chained to, do they go all the way to the ceiling, or yes. How tall are the poles?
Imagine.
So I'm assuming that the spikes coming down, they have made room for the hole for the pole, and they're just kind of sliding down the poles.
Yeah, imagine like a donut
like a
shape.
Spike stripper.
Imagine like a donut shape of spikes, like a panel that's like a donut shape that's spiky, dropping around the pole.
Gotcha.
Towards
your companions. So it's only on my companions.
Yes.
Spike only around my companions. Okay. Okay. I need to check something.
Okay.
Really quick.
This doesn't seem like the time for that.
Well, it doesn't take time to check. Everything freezes when I'm checking.
I'm confused though. So there was a chain.
Yeah.
That wrapped us around a pole.
Yeah, so you all walked in, you walked up to this, to the edge of, like, the wooden flooring where it stops and the water begins. So imagine a dock, right, over a lake, where you're walking down a dock and then that wood ends and there's just a lake after that. Mm. But you're inside, almost like the cockpit of a boat, I don't know what you'd call that, like the captain's quarters.
Okay.
But the flooring ends and it's just dark water beyond that. And as you guys were looking at that, a chain wrapped you and Leaf up and pulled you into, like, pulled you up to a pole that's in the middle of the room and kind of wrapped up the two of you and locked with a magical lock to keep you in place.
Okay.
Okay. So, looking at...
Oh, please, that torch and doors, please, okay. Go, please.
Here's what
please.
I want to do. I want to affix my 50-foot rope to an arrow.
Okay.
I want to do a little bit of bow fishing.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to hit the fish from the water. Is it a big fish?
It's a pretty big fish.
Is it scary?
You can only see, like, the size of it. You can't really see any detail.
This is a direct attack at me.
This is a direct attack at you. This is your room.
This isn't Ruby's room.
This is your room.
I am terrified of water and games. So I don't want to go in the water. I want to try to pluck the fish.
Okay, gotcha.
From a distance, so I'm going to roll.
I want you to know that I know you all enough to have made rooms that target your exact fears.
No.
Well, I don't like this.
Twice?
At all.
Good. Oh, baby!
So the room?
What'd you make? Whoa. What'd you roll? 28. Okay. Yeah, so you pull out your bow and you fucking snipe the tail of this fish as it goes through the hole, and you definitely, like, connected with it. Now make a strength saving throw. As you've scared this fish.
Oh my god, two in a row, baby!
21. Okay, so it yanks and you hold yourself in place and you don't get pulled into the water.
but you stop this fish from getting too far. So now, let's say you start cranking this fish back, right? And it's trying, and it's fighting the whole time.
Uh-huh. My next thing that I want to do, does anybody else want to go?
They're kind of chained up.
I didn't think so.
I can spit on the fish from here, I guess.
I could give you like some bardic inspiration or something like that.
I'm going to plant my immovable rod into the ground. And I'm going to begin winding the rope around the immovable rod.
Smart.
I'm playing D&D today, baby.
Okay, so you
he said I'm not getting in that water.
You stick the immovable rod on the deck, and then you activate it, and then you start winding the rope on. So when you say you're winding the rope, do you mean you're like taking the loose end and winding it up so it can't move any further, or are you taking it and then pulling it to where it's like sort of pulling around the immovable rod?
I'm literally, yeah, taking the taut end of the rope that's attached to the giant fish, and I'm working it around.
So you're still using your own strength to move, to wrap
correct
up the rope.
But as I let go, then it can't go any further.
Okay, gotcha. So we'll say, so the hole from where you were was about, I want to say 20 feet.
That's a good shot.
So with your roll, you wind it up 5 feet closer. So now you've got 15 feet. Go ahead and make another strength saving. We're going to make another, not saving, a regular strength throw.
Okay. 5.
Oh, that's not a good roll.
That's all right, because I know it can't go anywhere because of the rod.
Okay, so you grab the taut end and you pull, and it pulls back, and you lose your balance a little bit, and you are holding onto the rope, right? So you do fall in the water, but you're holding the rope. You're holding the rope, and you're above the water.
Okay.
So you can pull yourself back up.
Okay. No, I'm not gonna do that. I know what this room's designed for, and I'm just gonna do it. While holding the rope, I'm not gonna let go of this rope.
Okay.
I'm going to work my way towards the fish's arse.
What are you doing? What are you doing to the fish?
I'm working my way down the rope to the fish.
Okay, so you slowly get closer.
I didn't think I would have such a visceral reaction to this. This is just words.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you would be affected by this or not. So you climb yourself down, and as you climb yourself down, the fish is definitely trying to swim away, so it's under the water. So your head has to go underwater for a moment as you get close to the fish. So you get to the fish, and the arrow you sent is through the tail. The key is around its neck.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's tangled up in like fishing line.
You know, the way you made it sound is that the keys were dragging behind it.
That's what it made it sound like.
Oh, you know what? I did write that it's being dragged behind it. So the fishing net is sort of tangled up in the fish all around, and the keys just kind of floating around the fish in general. Just kind of, it's like in general around the fish.
Floaty keys, I got it.
So that's where you're at right now. You're at the tail of the fish.
I'm familiar with the topic of floaty keys. Okay, am I within, can I grab the keys?
Sure, you don't even need to make a throw. You reach out, you grab the key, and you're gonna need to cut it. So right now, one hand's on the rope, one hand's on the key.
Oh god.
Okay, I'm going to
bite it.
I'm gonna just pull out my. Oh no, I can't let go of the rope. Half bite. I'm just gonna take my hand off the rope and cut it. I know this is gonna end badly for me, but I've gotta save my friends.
Okay, you pull out your knife, and you let go of the rope, you pull out your knife, and you slice through that key. Now you have the key, or the fishing line. Now you have the key. And then as you do that, you feel something scaly brush against your feet. That's not the fish that you are currently dealing with.
Wow, Christopher was mean on this episode.
Oh, fucking mean on this episode. Okay, with the key in my hand, I grab back onto the rope and I scale back up as fast as I can.
Okay, go ahead and give me athletics.
That's plus one.
Also, show us the motion of scaling really quickly.
Oh, 7. So you make it about halfway. You get your head above water. You get your head above water, and something that is not the fish that you speared grabs onto your foot and starts to yank you back the other way. So pull or make a strength check. And also, like, you have the 8. Key in your hand.
Fucking hell. 8.
With an 8, the thing grabbing you doesn't win, but you also don't win. So you're still struggling with it. And you're holding onto the rope, and you have the key in your hand. And the spiked panel that is slowly sliding towards your friends is about halfway down.
My friends might have to die at this point.
Shmurp is praying to his god right now.
What was your god, Shmurp?
Wait, hold on. I almost forgot his name. It's That Which Endures. That's That Which Endures.
I didn't think in a million years you'd have a response to that. Good for you. Please, That Which Endures. Please, let me endure.
Please, I swear I'll never assimilate with another dumb group like this again. I swear.
Do I ever move? Do I?
Basically, you guys matched strength.
So do I just fight harder?
You could, I mean, you have an option. You can try to break free again, or you can do something else. I don't know what. It's up to you.
I can't set myself on fire anymore, and we're also underwater, so that wouldn't mean... I can speak with animals.
Okay.
I'm going to try to speak with the animal. I'm going to cast Talk with Animals.
Okay. Do I need to make any sort of roll?
Roll to... No, I think I more or less am going to try to convince you to stop fucking with me and stop. Just please go away.
Okay. So go ahead and cast that spell. Use up whatever spell slot that it takes, and then say what you need to say and make a perception roll.
Well, I can cast that 4 times. Hey, fish, whatever you are down there, I'm such an ally. Please don't do this.
Make a perception roll?
I just want perception.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know if you were done. You can finish what you're saying.
No,
Can we hear him?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm speaking fish, so I don't think you can understand it.
Are you trying to talk to the fish? What is this?
I snap out of it and I go, shut up, Shmurp, I'm trying to save my life.
Please, That Which Endures, please save me.
Perception. Oh, plus 2 on that. Perfect. 10.
10, okay. So, that's average. So, that's you ask this thing to... leave you alone, and you feel the grip loosen. It doesn't let go, but what I'll give you is advantage on a strength check if you want to try to rip your leg out.
18.
Oh yeah, okay. So it loosens its grip, you pop your leg out, and then I assume you're going to try to scurry up the rope?
As fast as I can.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and let you scurry up the rope and get out of there. So now you're back on the, deck. And you see that your companions have actually sat down to avoid the spike panel because it's dropped low enough to stab them if they had not. So it's up to you. So to unlock it, you can unlock it, but your friends are gonna have to make a DC 12 to see if they can get untangled and out of the way fast enough to not get stabbed.
I have another option.
Oh, great.
I'm going to take the immovable rod away from what I'm doing, set it under one of them, and then get the other one.
Okay. You know what? First of all, I want you to take inspiration. Second, that is good enough to keep the panel from dropping completely. So you plop it up under basically right up where the pole that they're locked up to is, and then you unlock them and they're able to get out without any trouble.
That was like the craftiest gameplay.
Yeah, that was really cool. Gameplay.
But it's now that spike panel is resting on your removable rod now.
Oh no. Wait, hold on. I think
he can't just unlock us and then take it.
He can try to take the pull back, but it's gonna fall.
It's got all this tension, right?
Yeah, it's got a lot of tension on it.
But what I think happens with the removable rod is I think it moves up and down. Let me check that because I don't want to be a liar. Yeah. So the button causes the rod. Oh no, it just becomes magically fixed in place. It doesn't extend or retract.
No. But what you can do is you can take it back and you're gonna have to make a dexterity saving throw, and if you can beat what I wrote down, then you won't take any damage from the falling spike.
Alright, we'll do that.
I can give you bardic inspiration for that too. I think it's so you get a 1d8 for that. I think to help you.
Okay.
It's like bonus points.
Actually,
all right, cool.
No. Let's make it fun. I'm going to roll my dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
Tell you what it is, and then you can tell.
Okay.
14.
14 will do it.
Oh, 14 will do it. Save your bardic inspiration.
Okay. So sounds good. You grab it, you deactivate it, and you like pull it out quick enough to where the spiked panel smashes down. And so this is what happens. You pull your rod out and the spiked panel smashes down on the wooden floor. The wooden floor collapses from that spot out. And you all plummet into dark, cold water. You all become tangled in the chains that were wrapped up and you're dragged down and down into the depths. And as you reach the bottom, you are able to remove yourself from the tangled chains, but you aren't able to breathe. But you spot a sunken submarine with a hatch on the bottom that is only accessible because it is slightly tilted on its side. And you all see a swarm of quipper, which are basically piranha in D&D, heading your way.
Oh, so, God.
Here's what I wrote down. You can all try to open the hatch. You will have to have a combined roll of 20 strength to open the hatch.
We would need at least to get 7 each, guys.
Okay.
And my strength is +0.
Okay, so if everybody wants to try to open the hatch together.
Mine's +5. So.
Okay.
I could do the runaway thing. We could teleport, but I don't know where we're going
to
teleport.
Yeah, there's nowhere really to teleport.
You could teleport into the submarine.
That's true, I guess.
Christopher's like, God.
We could.
Do you want to do that? Why don't you guys all roll strength real
quick? Let's try, and then if we're about to drown, then get us in there.
Okay, perfect.
10. That's 11.
Okay, 11. So 11.
It's just a strength check.
6, me. That's 17. So all shrimp has rolled a 3 or higher.
Come on.
Okay. 9. Okay. Yeah, you guys all pass. So you guys all swim up to that hatch and you all grab it together and you turn with all of your might and it turns and then it opens and then the force of the hatch opening and sucking in water like a vacuum pulls all three of you in and you're pulled inside the submarine by the force of the water and you all spill out onto the floor and the water rushes away and as you cough and gasp for breath, you look up and you're all back in the hallway and there's one less door and there, which means there are 3 doors left.
Good job, guys.
And you can hear the ringing. And what you hear as you stand up soaked in seawater, what you hear is the ringing of a stone of far speech, slightly louder than what you heard before down the hall. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed it because we really had a lot of fun recording this one. If you're not into the horror, just check the beginning of each episode and I will be giving a quick recap, but there are a few more of these episodes to come. But as far as the music is concerned, this episode only had two songs, Experience and Dark Secret, both of which were written and produced by Dark Fantasy Studio and Nicholas Judy. Stay tuned for a quick little end scene.
Yes, what is it?
Commissioner Nafata, one of our intelligence agents have received an incoming report from Bard Colty. He said it was urgent and classified. I will leave him here to read it to you in private. Goodbye.
Go on.
Yes, ma'am. Report from Colty reads as follows, ma'am. It has come to my attention that the Rookie Hero Squad, consisting of Leaf and Ruby, accompanied by Bard Schmerp, have recently joined up with the Ruffian Terrorist Group. It is assumed that the Ruffians have recruited Leaf and Ruby in an attempt at infiltrating and overtaking the Heroes Guild. Further investigation is required. Schmerp's involvement and knowledge in this matter is unknown. That is the end of the report, ma'am.
Speak of this to no one else. Tell Sergeant Gorb to call an emergency meeting immediately. Purple clearance only.
Yes, ma'am.